Welcome to Hack the Entrepreneur, the show which reveals the fears, habits, and inner battles behind big-name entrepreneurs and those on their way to joining them. Now here is your host, John Naster.
Hey, hey, this is Hack the Entrepreneur. Thank you so much for joining me again today. I am your host, John Naster, but you can call me Johnny. My guest today is a marketer, writer, strategist, and an entrepreneur. His career began at 17 years old as an SEO consulting for multiple Fortune 500 companies. Just 2 years later, he joined his first agency, Gravity Free, where he spent 2.5 years running SEO campaigns for leading brands like Holiday Inn and Best Western. He's now the co-founder and VP of Simple Tiger, where they are building a killer team to help brands, from startups to Fortune 500s, better tell their story to customers. Now, let's hack Sean Smith. There's absolutely an endless amount of online education available. You can learn anything you want, from Google Analytics to SEO to Facebook ads to product creation or making money with Amazon, whatever it is that you could possibly think of. Now, what would happen to your business if the next course that you see that looks fascinating to you, you could buy it or sign up to it and know that it was going to be executed on immediately? Like, not just when you have time to get to it, but absolutely taken action on today, tomorrow, next week, and next month. So to be clear, I don't want you to personally be doing this. That's not what I'm saying. But I'm urging you to think like the CEO of your company, no matter if it's just you right now or not. And as the CEO, I want you to think globally. All right, let your mind carry you across the ocean to the Philippines. I've been there. It's an absolutely beautiful place. This is where you can hire a virtual assistant who is talented, honest, reliable, and capable of doing thought work for $300 to $800 a month for full-time work. Absolutely anything your business needs can be outsourced. Programmers, graphic designers, social media experts, writers, SEO experts, whatever, you name it. You need help with your business to make it grow. And there are people looking for work right now. If for nothing else than just to see what's possible, go right now and start browsing. There's over 250,000 resumes right now waiting for you. Go to onlinejobs.ph/hack. It's the world's largest and safest marketplace for finding rockstar Filipino workers. Once again, that's onlinejobs.ph/hack. Even if you don't plan on hiring someone right now, this is a fascinating experiment to go over there and just look at the people that are available with college degrees and university degrees that could do amazing things for your business for very, very reasonable amounts of money. Go to onlinejobs.ph/hack. We are back with another episode of Hack the Entrepreneur. And today we have a very, very special guest. Sean, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely my pleasure. I'm glad we got to finally do this. I've been tracking what you've been up to for a couple of years now, so it's really cool to get to sit down.
Yeah, thank you. You know. That's humbling to hear.
So what do you say? Should we jump into this?
Yeah, definitely.
Let's do it. Sean, you are a man who wears many hats. Today we're talking to Sean, the entrepreneur. So as an entrepreneur, Sean, can you tell me what is the one thing that you do that you feel has been the biggest contributor to your successes so far?
That's a good question. I think that really for me, being able to connect the right people together and to be able to connect to people who are right for me really helps. I think that I've been in business mainly with my brother, who I grew up with, obviously, and had a very strong connection with since I was very young. But also I was I was really shown by my parents the right kind of engagements that you should be involved with, the right people to be involved with, and how to kind of piece that together. And I was always really interested, because my dad's an actor, that I was always really interested in kind of casting and how the different pieces of a movie are put together with the different kind of actors that are put in place, and why they're put in that place, and, you know, the different pieces of that. And so I've always been looking for, like, the right person for the different, for the certain job. And, you know, it could come back to playing team sports in high school or whatever the case may be, but I've always really loved that part of kind of leadership. And I can definitely say that, you know, the team that I have around me, that, I mean, we kind of curated over time, obviously, but the team that I have around me is really the superpower that kind of drives the businesses that we have. We would definitely wouldn't be where we are without that. So I think that that's really the key thing that I think that I get right. Obviously, I could probably do better on it, but that's always kind of a constant pursuit. So, but I think that that's something that really has helped me. And also, you know, with that playing into kind of how I network and how I would go out and network through social media and stuff like that, even when I didn't really have much to say or show, when I didn't really have a lot of work to show, I just had a lot of confidence in what I knew that I was capable of. And I would reach out to just anybody that I looked up to for feedback, for guidance, anything like that, like just cold emailing people and stuff like that, just to engage with, or connecting through Twitter and stuff like that.
I love it. So there's a lot here. And we're going to get back to a couple of these things, but just this idea of your parents and teaching you sort of, I guess, the right kind of engagement, you said, and the people to surround yourself with, your dad being an actor, like, was it taught inadvertently, or did they consciously try and, like, see this as a value to your life going forward?
Yeah, I think that honestly, most of it was inadvertent. I think that they taught me a lot of tangible skills, like intentionally, as far as, like, whether it be like health focused, or whether it be, you know, just errands or chores or whatever the case may be, those kind of things they taught very intentionally. But they taught so much through just their actions and me being able to be observant and really emphasizing the importance of being observant. They were really both like pure artists at heart. And so, you know, the majority of art is observing and kind of telling a story based off of what you've observed. And so they really helped me and my brother learn how to observe people and to communicate properly for that, you know, for what we've observed, and to communicate what we've observed in general. And so I think that that's really something that they instilled in us. My dad was always reading a ton of like Stoicism books and stuff like that that were really interesting to me. And he would always talk to me about a lot of like stories. I think I really learned the most through stories. And I think I really get that from my dad, because he was just an awesome storyteller. I could listen to him tell stories for hours. And I mean, he's a novelist, so it kind of makes sense as well that he would be able to tell a good story. But it was, you know, I think I learned so much through that, and just kind of the wisdom that he would impart through telling me, you know, wow, this is an incredible story. You should really listen to this or watch this movie because of what it really emphasizes, the key points that it emphasizes, whether it be like Tolkien or, you know, something like that, that really just shows you just some really good kind of wisdom that you should hold tight. I think that's really kind of what they taught me the most of, just kind of inadvertently, not necessarily directly.
Well, and it's fascinating because sort of all of the skills or lessons or whatever you want to talk, the stories that seem to have impacted you, that they weren't direct business lessons. Like, here's how to start a business. Yet you've sort of brought all of those, because, I mean, there's not a huge sort of like difference between just like everyday, like being a good person and like having relationships, that's different than like life or business. So is that something that you've used, is like being able to sort of look at different aspects of the world and bring it into your thinking about business?
Oh, definitely. I think that that's really, I mean, the majority of content, as I would say, that I consume is definitely like not completely business related. I would say that there are definitely ones that if I have a question about something business related or that's like tangibly within my industry that I need to understand, I will seek it out directly and learn it. So I don't want it to sound like I just don't really care about anything in my industry or that's tangible, that's going to tactically help my clients or anything like that. But it's definitely the case that I'm always trying to soak up as much general wisdom as possible to just understand how better to live my life that I can then help provide to like my employees to have a better life for themselves and stuff like that. I would say that I've really only read like a few different honest business books, and the ones that I have read have been massive game changers for me, such as like Remote from David Heinemeier Hansson and Jason Fried from Basecamp, and then The 4-Hour Workweek from Tim Ferriss. Those are both just, I mean, there are other books as well, but those are very pivotal to my perception of how business should work. And they really sculpted a lot of the kind of principles that we have at Simple Tiger with our business. So,
yeah. And so those two books, I'll track them down, Remote and 4-Hour Workweek, and I'll link to them for everyone in the show notes in case you haven't read one of those books. Remote's a little bit more of a remote sort of book, but then 4-Hour Workweek is like the Bible. This industry. So, but still, it's always good to pick up again. In that original question, or answer to that original question, you mentioned something, which was that you had the confidence in what you were capable of. So when you started and you didn't have a lot of stuff around you, like a lot of creation, a lot of products, a lot of writing, anything, you still had that confidence going forward, which I think probably directly ties into the fact that you started consulting, SEO consulting for companies at the age of 15.
Yeah.
So I know all this stuff doesn't typically make sense kind of going through it, but can you bring us back, Sean, to, I mean, how that happened and where, how it's led you to here?
Yeah. I think to kind of begin with, my dad and mom just instilled a massive amount of confidence in my brother and I, and they always told us that we could do anything that we wanted to. And they were very empowering in that way. And really, they also felt the same about themselves. They were like, we do exactly what we want to do. And they had definitely that mindset around the, like, if I forget exactly who said it, it was like, if you wake up in the morning and you go to bed at night and in between you've done exactly what you want to do, you're a successful person. They always kind of instilled that in us. And I really love that. So I was always very confident, mainly because of that. But really the reason that I kind of got into consulting at that young of an age was really my brother. So my brother's 7 years older than me, and we always had a very tight relationship. And he was a freelance designer, a web designer at the time. My mom was an accountant. And so she was a freelance accountant, and she had a client that really needed a new website, and they sold ATVs from like China and stuff like that. And they basically, she told him they should hire him. He would be fantastic to design their new website. He came in, designed their new website. They loved it. And then they told him that they wanted to rank number one in Google. and it was like this, I love how he tells the story though, because it was this big Jordanian dude, and he's just like really awesome. And he had a lot of, I don't know what you would really call it, but he had a huge presence. And he said they bursted in the door one day and he was like, I love the site. I want it to rank number one. And so he was like, oh shit, how do I do that? So he didn't know anything about SEO. So he just started Googling it naturally and found, well, SEO Moz at the time, and started researching it and really started enjoying it. And actually got cold called, funny enough, too, by a dude who was trying to pitch them on SEO. And he just started taking notes on the call. He was like, he was reverse interviewing the guy. He was like reverse pitching him. And he was like, what's to keep me from doing all of this? And the guy was like, well, it's very complicated. I don't know if you would understand it. And he was like, I'm pretty sharp. I don't know. I can figure this out. So he started researching it and everything. And he really fell in love with it. He started optimizing the website for it, for organic traffic. And within a year, I think he took them from like $700,000 made online previously, like total, to $3 million in a year online that he could really point back to what he did.
Wow.
And he put that on his LinkedIn and got headhunted, recruited by 360i, who's one of the biggest companies in the world, especially at the time, for what we do. Now they're more focused on like social media marketing than SEO, but I think they still do SEO. But anyway, so he kind of went in there and was walking down the hallway and saw like NBC and E-Trade and Borders Books and stuff like that as the clients on the walls and stuff like that. And he was like, holy crap, I'm in the big leagues now. And so he started working there and everything, and then really kind of started getting fed up with how they were managing things. Like he said that around like 90% of things that they would recommend to clients, they wouldn't implement. And these were on like multi-million dollar counts. And so he was just like, you know, other businesses, smaller businesses would kill to have this information, and they just don't have it. And I could easily be doing the same stuff for these smaller businesses or medium-sized businesses, whatever the case may be. So, and he also had just read Remote, the book that we mentioned before, and started actually trying to get them to change their foundational structure of their business to be a remote work environment. And they were like, yeah, we're like 200 people right now. We're probably not going to be switching anytime soon. Kind of he rocked the boat a little bit too much, but he was on really good terms with everybody and actually ended up getting laid off from there, but kind of more like an amicable split of everything. And then they were on really good terms, so he started getting referrals from the president of 360i at the time, who he had a really good relationship with. And we still sometimes get referrals from them as well.
Wow.
And one of them was a giant oil conglomerate that didn't really feel like they could justify putting the budget into an SEO project as they could have and should have. Well, I mean, considering they were massive, and I think they were a little bit short-sighted on the actual value of SEO. But really, it opened up an opportunity for me because he needed help. He couldn't really handle the whole thing by himself. And I was 15. I'd been a techie like my whole life, like lived playing video games all the time and, you know, custom built my own PC and everything. And I was always online at the house, and I actually was really into competitive gaming at the time, and I would do tournaments and kind of travel and stuff like that to do Counter-Strike tournaments. But anyways, he knew that I was really into that and kind of wanted to teach me something that I could tangibly turn into a career so that after I graduate, I might not be completely left out in the open. And so he just started teaching me it. I would go over to his apartment in Roswell. We lived in Atlanta at the time, and I would go over to his apartment in Roswell pretty much every weekend, and he would just teach me as much as he could. And then he would show me and let me do it. And he ended up starting letting me do a lot of work for this client, this huge oil conglomerate client. And it was really interesting because I had access to analytics. Like I could see the value of conversions going through their sites. So I could see when a single like a conversion would go through their site and how much it would cost or how much it would gain them. And I was just like baffled by that. And so I was specifically responsible for optimizing these pages around these combine like harvesters that help clean up oil spills. And coincidentally enough, they were ranking number 4 at the time. I helped them, well, Jeremiah and I helped them rank number 1 over the course of like a couple months, I think. And right when we got them to number 1, the BP oil spill happened and it went crazy. And all of the ones that we had optimized for literally sold out through the website in about 24 hours. And so we saw somewhere around like north of $1 billion go through the site. Wow. in about, yeah, like about 24 hours. And we could see that through the general goal value associated to these conversions in analytics. And my jaw just hit the floor because I was like, I'm 15. These guys probably don't even know that I'm actually the one doing this stuff on their website. I'm at my house. I'm in my pajamas. I'm sitting on the computer that I normally just play games on. And I just netted this company that much money. Like there's something to this for sure. And so I just kind of dove headlong into it. And at that point, I think that that is something that, to your question too, I think that is something that gave me a ton of confidence as well, because talking to, you know, your local mom and pop shop after you've netted a company like that, that's a Fortune 50 company north of $1 billion in 2 months, you're like, yeah, you guys should probably believe in what I'm selling, because I've seen it work at a pretty high level. So that's something that just gave me a lot of confidence, I think, as well. And so, yeah.
I mean, every contract that not every, but 99.99999% of every contract that probably comes through that you can make a proposal on probably falls under the $1 billion in a day.
Oh,
category.
Oh God. Yeah. Like that was a massive outlier. Like, eventually I would love for us to get to a point where we're working with that echelon of business again. I mean, we work with really big clients today, and actually we've worked with some startups recently that have IPO'd at north of $1 billion, but we weren't the sole reason for them IPOing at $1 billion. So that it's a little bit different in that regard. So, but yeah, it is really exciting. And that is interesting, because it does still give us a lot, or at least me, a lot of confidence today, you know, dealing with clients and really knowing what I preach actually works. So.
And so is this what became, or is this what was Simple Tiger?
So at the time, I think Jeremiah actually started Simple Tiger many, 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 many years ago as the base of what Simple Tiger was. It was it wasn't an internet marketing agency necessarily. It was like it was kind of a catch-all, like web services. Like, it was design, internet marketing, all of that kind of stuff, down to like print cards and stuff like that, that he would get a lot of clients under his personal name. But at a point he wanted something that was tied to his personal brand, because he was doing a lot of like networking in Atlanta and stuff like that, and people knew him. And so he started a company called JC Smith Consulting, which is what that was technically under. It was JC Smith Consulting, and kind of tabled Simple Tiger for a long time, until we kind of rebranded it essentially and formally started it to what it is today together years later.
But it was kind of, yeah, you go to put it aside a bit, change the name, and then came back to Simple Tiger. But at that point you probably had you had clients, right? Like, it wasn't like you kind of put up the old sign one day and like, okay, now let's find clients for this. You guys were consultants.
Yeah. So he had a lot of clients at that time, and he was doing a lot of personal consulting. And I would say that whenever I left, to kind of catch back up on that story, whenever I left high school, I knew what I wanted to do from that experience. And there were no college classes for what I did for internet marketing. I don't even know if there are today for SEO. So I really just wanted to skip college, which, I mean, my parents were actually fine with, believe it or not, with, in regards to just, they knew what Jeremiah was doing. They knew what I had been doing with him. He had just recently moved to Sarasota, Florida when I graduated high school. And so I really wanted to live with him, and he had connections to some agencies down there, some smaller agencies. And so I just moved down with him and tried to get a job at one of these agencies. And I was doing kind of freelance work with him at the time, as well as doing some roofing on the top of actual construction, like roofing on the top of some huge buildings in 110 degree heat in Florida weather. It was wonderful. That was unreal.
But that's so much better.
Oh, so much better. But that job actually taught me so much as well. I mean, actually, it was crazy. I won't get too much into that, but one of the general contractors I associate with, really, it's weird. It was like one of those like coming to manhood moments working out there, because it was so no bullshit, like so hard of work. But also one of the general contractors out there who was just awesome, he was really funny, and his name was Jay, really cool. He kind of beat the words "I can't" out of me. Like, over the course of 2 weeks, I didn't know shit about general contract. I didn't know anything about like construction, but two of my friends down there were general contractors, and Jay was one of them and Kalen was the other. And for the whole time out there, for 2 weeks, every day I would just be like, he would say, go rip those, you know, 40 sheets of plywood over there. And I was like, I don't even know what that means. What does ripping them mean? It's like, you just cut them, like you measure them up and cut them. And I would just, there were so many times I would say, I can't. And it got to a point where anytime he heard me say that, he would be like, you what? And just like stare me down. And he was the most intimidating guy. And it was a friend of mine too, which is so funny that he was just like, he just didn't care. He was like, you're not going to say that word ever again after I'm through with you. And to this day, it really helped me so much because it, even though I had confidence at that point, I did not have confidence in that realm of work. And he really helped me just kind of rip that those words out of my vocabulary, really believe in myself. And that anytime a problem would come up, I would immediately default to problem solving rather than defeatism after that point, because of that. And I, even though I screwed up so many things out there, once I started doing that, like I would just stop saying I can't because I didn't want to get chewed out, but then I would go do something wrong and it would just be horrible. But he actually was a lot easier on me when I would just take the initiative and do something that was wrong rather than say I can't, which I actually learned a lot from that especially as well. But anyways, beyond that, I ended up getting fired from there because I was terrible. And I just dove deeply into learning more about SEO. I was just like really headlong into that. And so I would just spend, you know, all of my waking hours either doing freelance work with Jeremiah or researching SEO online. And I had a interview at an agency that he had set up, that he had done some consulting work for. And they didn't actually know this at the time, but I had an interview with John Barron, who was my marketing director there, who was just incredible. He's one of my favorite people, but he didn't know this at the time, but I was actually like, Jeremiah was doing contract work for their clients and I was actually doing the work for their clients already. So technically I was pretty much already working there and he didn't really know that. And so I actually brought to the interview results that I had already given for his clients and showed him like this is some work that I've already done for your clients. These are the results of it. And then also just gave him, I think he was really impressed though. I really discussed my theories on SEO and what I know about SEO. And at the time they were like, look, we don't even have enough clients to really suit SEO. We're mainly pay-per-click at the time. But he was like, but I think that we could work something out. And so they offered me the job. I was 18 and just started working there. And really, I was one of like two different people that were on this marketing team. So it was John Barron, who was the marketing director, and another girl who was there, and then myself. And she handled most of like social media stuff for the clients. And I just kind of dove in on the SEO side of things, but it was a really good overall learning experience for me. And I highly recommend it to anybody to dive into like a small company when they're trying to start their own, before they start their own, so that they can see how the industry works at the ground level, because it really gave me a really good base of understanding for how to sell, because I had to sell projects. I had to actually do the production work. I had to do the strategy for the projects. Then I had to market Gravity Free, which was the agency. And then I had to do a lot of like reporting. And then I also had to understand the budgets for the project so that I could keep everything in line. So it was literally like running my own business. It taught me pretty much everything from soup to nuts that you would need to know, but I was still inside that business. And it really helped a ton to understand what goes into actually running an agency at a ground level and how to grow it out. Because from the time that I worked there until the time that I left, we had grown out the team from just a couple people to, I think it was like 8 people for the marketing side of things. The design and development side was a lot bigger of the business than the marketing side of that business. So, but by that time, got a really good understanding of it. And I was doing a lot of networking through social media and stuff like that, mainly out in San Francisco and Seattle, because that's where everybody was in the industry at the time. And I was just doing a lot of networking online through there, through blogs, through reaching out to people that I respected in the industry and stuff like that, and built my own kind of network and started getting freelance clients of my own through that on the side while I was working at Gravity Free. And at a point, my freelance work became twice what I was getting paid at Gravity Free. So I loved the job at Gravity Free. I loved all the people. I wrote a post about this that it was like literally one of the most bittersweet days of my life quitting there, because all the people there, like, I respected the hell out of the founder, Scott Heaps, and John Barron and all the people there. But God, I was just like, I was so ecstatic when I left there and my heart was just thumping and everything. And I was like, I'm on my own now. Like, I get to go home. I get to do whatever the hell I want, but then I have to make sure that my clients are successful, you know, because that's all that was left. It was like, you know, just my clients. And if they're successful, then I'm successful. But if they're not, then I'm screwed. So there was that.
But you were at Gravity Free for almost 3 years.
I was there for, yeah, I think like 2 years.
And then building up clients on the side. So it wasn't like you took clients with you.
Oh, no.
It was you're the kind of person who, like, you didn't just, although you were in another company, you were still like, work doesn't end at 9. It's like you were networking, you were creating content, and you were getting clients on the side.
Yeah, definitely. And I didn't take any of their clients with me, but I likely could have, but I didn't want to do anything like that. And I definitely wanted to leave very in good graces, because I like cherish the relationships with all of them. And I think that that's extremely important, that you should be kind of honorable whenever you split like that. Unless somebody's just completely screwing you over, I wouldn't, you know, just seek to mess up a good thing in that regard. Even though, you know, it was tough, like, leaving and everything. But Scott, the founder, was like, I knew you were going to leave from the day you came on. Like, you were too good for being your age. I knew you weren't going to be here forever, but, you know, he was very understanding, and that actually gave me a lot of good perspective as well. Cause he reminded me a lot of my dad, which was really important too. Whenever I was 800 miles from my parents, and he was a very cool father figure in that regard, that he gave me a lot of wisdom in the same way that my dad did. And he was an artist as well, like, always had guitars lining his office, and he would always take them down and be playing like a Les Paul or something while you're talking to him and everything. And he was just so cool. And we had all these fantastic projects. So it was always so tough. It was so tough to leave. I just knew that that was one of those steps that I just kind of had to take.
Nice. And that's a cool segue. You mentioned the projects because they had cool projects going on. But let's move to projects now, Sean, because currently, I mean, you are like co-running Simple Tiger, which is growing really well. You have the sort of offshoot business, which is Clean Canvas Design. And I mean, you write a ton, you create a ton, you are doing a lot personally. So I would love sort of if you could explain your process that you're going through today, because I'm sure a lot of ideas come to you, things you could run with either within Simple Tiger or even personally. But what's sort of the process, and whether it's a written process or a gut process, but what's the process you're going through today to decide when a project is worth your time, energy, and resources?
Oh man, that's a good question. That's like the golden question, really. It's really tough. It is, I would say it is a lot of gut. It is, you know, we research things a lot, but it is kind of a gut question. I think that there are projects, there are clients that we work with that we never dreamed that we'd work with, that we thought that we used, that we like idolized as far as like their products go. I can't really talk about a few of them, unfortunately, but we were really excited. So whenever like something like that comes in, it's just like a no-brainer. It's like, I would pay to work for them. Like I would be, you know, I would, not from a business perspective, hell no, I'm going to get paid a lot to work with them, but I would really want to work with them. So there are certain ones that you're just like, yep, sign me up. Like, we're going to try to push this through no matter what. I want to work with this project. And also, especially ones that can kind of turn into a case study that could really just turn a light switch on for your business as far as like exposure, whenever certain clients coming or looking through your case studies and they see X client and they're like, holy, okay, they're serious. Those kind of projects are obviously something that we really want to endeavor into. There are certain projects that are really tough to tell. I mean, there are certain ones that you'll have a client that comes in that everything looks good on paper. They have the budget for the project. They have the right perspective, it seems like. And then you get into a project a couple months in and you're like, wow, this is not a good fit. They're not exactly right for us in either how they communicate or, you know, their perspective on our work or what they think our work actually is supposed to be. And they just won't listen to us, because I would say about 80% of our job is education, really, in SEO. We have to educate our clients so that they understand these things while we try to specifically optimize their site. And then, you know, hopefully they've been educated to a point where they don't break it after we've fixed it. So that's kind of that's a big struggle in the industry. So that happens a lot. And then you're kind of spinning your wheels, even though you're getting paid by this client, it's just not a fun engagement. It's not rewarding. It might be even making your team morale go down. And we have a few different ways that we've kind of used to judge that based on like polls and weekly check-ins with our team and stuff like that. But also, it's kind of a gut check. I mean, we have to say, you know, we have to read our body language when we're talking about these clients. And that's also just a tough thing to actually say, because we're a completely remote team. So reading body language doesn't exactly work in the same way as if you were in an office and you could just see people slumping walking by. But reading how they sound on conference calls and stuff like that when talking about these clients, or even through text. I mean, text is honestly, you know, this generation at least spent a ton of time through text online and stuff like that. So it's actually a lot easier than you would think to really pick up on how somebody's feeling just through what they write. And so there's that. And sometimes we have to kind of fire clients, which always kind of sucks, but it does happen. But I think that's happening a lot less because of, as you said, kind of building out processes around that. So like one of the processes that we have in place is we have a two-tiered approach to our kind of projects at this point. We have a phase one and a phase two that we call. And phase one is all about like research and planning and putting the strategy down for what we need to do and going forward. And that can last from like 1 to 3 months, depending on budget and time frames for the client. And then phase two is like all production and just optimizing everything that we found and carrying out the strategy and everything. One interesting thing that happens there is it's two different contracts. So the first phase is a contract in and of itself. So it's like you either agree to a 1 to 3 month engagement with us, depending on the items that you chose from phase one and the strategy that we're going to be putting out. And then if that is all working properly, then we propose a phase two. But sometimes we'll have, it's a really good barrier to entry so that we can kind of dip our toes into the engagement before we're locked in for like a 12-month contract or something like that, where we just know that this client is actually costing us a lot more than they're actually giving us, or they're just really not right for us, or even vice versa. Maybe we're not the right fit for the client. And so it gives clients a really good way to kind of get their feet wet with us before diving in. And that's something that we didn't have before. And it really actually caused a lot of problems. Like we would just dive into a 6 or 12 month contract with clients and you know, somewhere down the road, the communication wouldn't be right. And then things would, you know, maybe mess up or something like that because of the communication not being there. And we would essentially be out for a large contract that we thought that we had, or, you know, something else. So, you know, there are certain things that we've definitely done to like put in processes to kind of keep that from happening on the client side of things. As far as like internal marketing stuff goes, that's totally like a gut check for us and a lot of testing. So like we will try to endeavor into like a social media space or something like that with our marketing. Like we do a lot on Twitter right now. That's our main thing. And it works really well for us. We really enjoy it and it's a lot of fun. And so
do you mean for Simple Tiger or for the client?
Yeah. For Simple Tiger.
Okay. Okay.
For us specifically. And we take this approach for clients as well. So whenever we're strategizing this out, we show from a data perspective, this is where the majority of the content in your industry is being shared. This is where the majority of your potential clients actually engage, and give them kind of a very clean layout of the specific areas where we think they should be engaging. But then it really comes down to their strengths and what they like to do. So maybe they don't have a lot of visual content, but they really should be marketing through Instagram or, like, you know, something like that. You know, sometimes it just comes down to what their strengths are and capitalizing on that. So, like, for us, we really enjoy Twitter. We know that a lot of our clients live on Twitter and LinkedIn to a certain degree as well. But that's something that we're kind of testing from a paid side of things before we dive kind of headlong into that. And then video is something that we know is a very unsaturated, like, content form in our industry right now. Honestly, the only ones doing something in video in our industry really well is Moz. So we really want to kind of dive into that space. We have some plans to dive into that space really soon, as just putting out really good video series that answer a lot of questions around SEO concerns. So that's kind of a gut check at this point. And we know that there isn't a lot of saturation in that content type in the industry. So that's something that we've actually done research on. But we also know that Jeremiah, who is my co-founder and brother, is just really good behind camera. And actually, photography and videography and stuff like that has always been a huge passion of his regardless. But he was also doing stuff at, like, a local church that he works at, where he does all the announcements through video announcements and stuff, got really comfortable behind camera, and he's just really good at that. And so we want to kind of bring that in-person type engagement that he's so good at to the virtual, you know, net world that we kind of live in, because we're a remote agency and stuff like that. We all network locally where we're at as well, but, you know, us being an internet marketing agency, we kind of need to be good at internet marketing.
Well, that makes sense. But so you didn't mention written blog content, which seemed to pump out a lot. So to me, I mean, as a company such as yourself, as most web-based companies, that's kind of a default, right? Like, you have to do that.
certain things are like our bread and butter. So, like, that is something that, it's funny, at this point, I don't even think about, because it's just like walking.
You do a lot of it.
It's like, yeah, we kind of need to. I mean, it is like a bread and butter type thing that we want to do. It helps our clients. So, funny enough, like, we reference a lot of our written work whenever we're talking to clients. It helps us get clients. It helps us network to create other engagements and stuff like that are really cool and generally provide value to people who just want to learn how to do this. I felt, and Jeremiah feels, really compelled to have, that's one of our ways of, like, giving back as far as, like, sharing content that we know about, like, sharing the steps and tactics and stuff like that that we've learned over the years, because that's how we learned. That's how we got into the industry. There's no real, like, classes for this. And so you kind of have to be curious and be looking for this kind of stuff online. So we want to also be able to share that so that other people will be able to read that. And it's helped us a lot. I mean, we've gotten a lot of clients that have come in and said, like, I used to read your content a long time ago and I still do. We always said that whenever we had enough budget, we would hire you guys, because we didn't want to hire anybody else, because we learned from you guys. And I thought that was so powerful. And that kind of drives us to a large degree. And actually, funny enough, I say that there aren't really any classes for SEO, but Jeremiah actually just had an opportunity recently to go teach at USF, because he met with the dean of USF's marketing class, was reading content from our website, and thought that it was really interesting. And Jeremy lives in Sarasota, right up the road from USF. And so they met up and had a conversation around him teaching a class there. Jeremiah didn't graduate from high school. He graduated from high school. He didn't graduate from college. He took one semester in college. And it was so funny for him to experience teaching a class and being, like, essentially a professor of this class. And he said that the dean actually said that attendance for that class rose by like 300% whenever he went to teach it, because he brought a specific, he brought tangible experience to the class. Like he, it was more of a workshop than a class. It was like he brought in a lot of information to just teach. And then he told everybody to bring in a website that they wanted to optimize. And then he would specifically walk them through, like on the website in front of the class, okay, these are things that you would optimize. These are things that you would do. These are the things that we look for whenever we're like kind of breaking down what a website's doing wrong. And I think that that kind of tangible experience is exactly what you have to have. I mean, I think that I learned the most about SEO from having my own WordPress blog that I just completely destroyed from ground up, like day in and day out, until I tinkered with it and knew exactly what worked on it. So it was also an experience for me, like reaching out, like I did a lot of stuff to just build my own social media presence whenever I was getting started. And I would use all of the equity that I got from that to test my own website. So like I needed search volume to actually be able to test what worked from SEO for my website. So I actually used that as a catalyst to push me to be better networked online so that I could test this website out and see what works with it. So something that I did was I had my own WordPress blog, and I would reach out like through cold emails to people that I really respected, like Rand Fishkin, who's the CEO of, or who was the CEO, he's the founder of Moz. I just cold emailed him one day and asked him if he would contribute to a blog post that I was writing, and he did, and he just gave me a quote and stuff like that. And so I would reach out to these different people, these influencers that I knew had a ton of social media following, and I would be putting together what I knew about the space too, and kind of using what they said to support the claims and stuff like that. And then I would, you know, post it, reach out to them and say, hey, this has been posted. Would you mind sharing it? They would share it. I would get a crap ton of search volume and traffic from that. And then I would be able to just completely break my site and see how it worked and see how things worked from there and see like, okay, well, this is where the traffic's dropping off. Let me, you know, redirect this here and see how that works, or set up a call to action at this point and put some heat maps over the site and see how that works, and really just learn a lot through doing it. Because especially in the, like, that's how I've always learned really well. The best is like just through tactile kind of learning it as I go. But really through this stuff, there's just so much that's experience-based that whenever we bring somebody in for like a new employee and stuff like that, we literally just throw them to the wolves, because we're like, you have to learn through doing it. Like there, you know, you probably know a lot at this point already, but you don't know as much as you're going to have to know whenever you're dealing with so many different clients and so many different industries doing so many different things all at once. And you're going to have to know about certain issues that come up and how to avoid them.
It's such a trade, like a skill in that sense, that you have to, it's like, you could take it back to roofing, Sean. Like you can't learn to roof by like reading a book about it. Like you have to go up there, like, hit yourself with hammers or whatever it is, like fall off the ladder, all those things. And SEO is absolutely one of those things. Like if you at all want to get into something like that and you don't have a WordPress blog set up and you're playing around with it and breaking it every day, then I mean, you're not heading in the right direction.
Right. Yeah. I would say that as well. And as you said, I mean, with the experience thing, one of the guys that was out there that was a general contractor friend of mine, the name is Kalen. He's a Mennonite originally, who has been building houses since he was 5 years old, and he would even mess up on stuff. So to that degree, I still mess up on things today and I still break things today. And so you're always learning from that, and you always have to be excited to learn from that, from what you've had mistakes with. And that goes to just generally business as well. Like I wrote a little post about this recently that I was just thinking about, that I really thought was really interesting as far as my perspective. I think that entrepreneurship in general is kind of like a vicious circle that only speeds up. It doesn't ever go away. And what I mean by that is, like, at the top, you're like really on cloud nine. You're super happy. Everything's going well. Maybe you just got a new client, something like that, and you're like, this is great. I'm doing great. Then you reach, 3 o'clock, a little bit of doubt creeps in. You're like, I don't know if this is going so well. This might not be going that great. Maybe you just got a little bit and like you lost a client or something like that, or a contract fell through. And then you reach six and you're like really at your worst. And you're like, oh my God, why am I doing this? I'm a failure. This doesn't make sense. Why in the hell did I even start a company? I can't build my own company. What are you talking about? And then you kind of do something. Like the only thing that you have left to do at that point is just to trudge through. And so you trudge through and maybe you reach something that gives you a little bit of hope, and you're happy about something that's going well, and you reach 9 o'clock, and then that thing kind of transforms into, okay, I got a new project. I got my way out of there. I'm really happy again. And really you're back to 12 o'clock, and it's just a circle that just keeps on going, and it doesn't really dissipate. Like it doesn't just go away, but it does speed up because you get more experienced. You've seen the things that you've go through. You are able to identify them ahead of time. You're able to adjust the path to jump over certain obstacles. And it really just speeds up to the point where you're operating at some point that is much bigger stakes than you were before. But even though you're operating at much bigger stakes and something goes wrong, you don't freak out because you've been there before, to a smaller degree maybe, but you've been there before, and you know that you can work through it and that you can operate through it. And at that point, you also just, you get into this line of understanding around your processes and what you use to get through it, that you're able to be a lot faster at getting through it. And you have a playbook to go to when things go wrong. So like, for me, that was always usually from like losing a client or something like that, or just doing a bad job on a project for whatever reason. And I knew that there were certain things that I could go to one, make the client happy again, or to fix the project. And if that doesn't work, at least I know exactly how I can go out and potentially get more projects and stuff like that. And so I would just really hit the ground with what I knew could tangibly get me out of this funk like ASAP, and I would just run with it. So I think that that's really powerful that I've learned over the years in regards to entrepreneurship is just that circle and knowing how to make it work for you and not against you.
I love it. I love it. And it's funny because you put that cycle on like a 24-hour clock and it literally can happen.
It really can.
Like the way you were like at 3 o'clock, you're like on top of the world. At 5 o'clock, you're like, what the hell am I doing in business? By 9 o'clock, you got a client. You're like, I rule. I'm awesome.
That's so true. That's so true. It does. It can happen.
It's just the way it works. All right, Sean. Well, this has been an absolute blast, man. We've talked about sort of the business in passing. Could you now specifically tell the listener what Simple Tiger is, who it's for, and then where to track it down online?
Yeah, definitely. So Simple Tiger is an inbound marketing agency. We specialize in SEO, so search engine optimization, making businesses rank higher in search engines, getting you more organic traffic, and really helping you convert those into customers. And we do that through content development and kind of social PR and stuff like that. And really, you know, we're kind of a remote agency that we're really engaged in wanting to empower remote workforces and stuff like that. And so that's something that's really core to who we are. You can find us and find a bunch of information about us at simpletiger.com. And funny enough, I'll just give, just as an in there, I'll give the backstory of the name too. So it's funny because the simple is a kind of commitment. Me and Jeremiah want to be simple. We want to keep things simple. We want to push to make things simple because things are so complicated all the time, especially in our industry. And so we always want to make things simple. And then the other side of it, Tiger, our meaning behind it is efficiency, effectiveness, and making sure that we are being simply effective and that the things that we're doing, we're focusing on the 80-20 principles, that we're focusing on the 20% that are going to give you the 80% of your results. But then also, Tiger is actually what my dad used to call Jeremiah growing up. So it has some kind of personal meaning as well there. So, but anyways, yeah, simpletiger.com. That's where you can find us. You can find us on Twitter as well, @SimpleTiger. And yeah, we'd love to talk. And if you want to write on our blog or want us to write on your blog or anything like that, reach out. We would love to help.
Very cool. Very cool. SimpleTiger.com and SimpleTiger on Twitter, as well as SN Smith on Twitter. A couple books were mentioned. Moz's YouTube channel, I believe Whiteboard Fridays is one of them.
Yep.
Also, I will find links for all of that, and I'll put them in the show notes and hacktheentrepreneur.com for you when you're done working, jogging, working out, whatever it is you're doing right now. Those will be there waiting for you. Sean, this has been fun, man. Thank you so much. I'm glad we finally found time to sit down. And yeah, just please keep doing what you're doing, man, because it is awesome to watch.
Thank you. You too, man. These podcasts are great. So thank you for that.
Did you know that for as little as $350 a month, you can find virtual workers over in the Philippines to take on even the most challenging tasks in your business? Not boring, mindless tasks, but really smart, thought-provoking work. You will not get this kind of value anywhere else. From WordPress experts, virtual assistants, and writers, all waiting to join your team and scale your business with you. Go to onlinejobs.ph/hack. It's the world's largest and safest marketplace for finding rockstar workers. Once again, that's onlinejobs.ph/hack. Boom, ba-dum, ba-ba. That was fun. That was a lot of fun. And as much fun as that was, we've reached an even better part of the show. Or at least some of us think it's the better part of the show. It's the part where we get to go back. We get to go back and we get to find that one thing that Sean said. You ready? Let's do it. Let's find the hack.
But it was a really good overall learning experience for me, and I highly recommend it to anybody to dive into like a small company when they're trying to start their own, before they start their own, so that they can see how the industry works at the ground level, because it really gave me a really good base of understanding for how to sell, because I had to sell projects. I had to actually do the production work. I had to do the strategy for the projects. Then I had to market Gravity Free, which was the agency. And then I had to do a lot of like reporting. And then I also had to understand the budgets for the project so that I could keep everything in line. So it was literally like running my own business. It taught me pretty much everything from soup to nuts that you would need to know, but I was still inside that business.
And that's the hack. Sean. I love this. This is something that gets missed a lot, and I'm glad you brought this up because this is huge, right? So you started out when you were 16, 17 years old with your brother learning SEO, doing SEO for amazing companies, obviously having huge success like we heard. Yet you went then and worked for Gravity Free. So an agency, you moved across the country, you worked for 2.5 or so years for an agency that was doing things really, really well. And you did that not as, okay, I'm not going to be an entrepreneur, quote unquote, I'm going to go and just have a job. You did it to learn and to figure it out from the inside, right? So try and picture somebody starting their own agency and have never even worked inside of one. The most basic forms of marketing or reporting or budgeting or production or strategy for your clients, you wouldn't even know where to start, rather than seeing a system that works and having to learn all of that. And so I'm not saying go work for a bank or go work for something huge, but for a small like startup-y sort of company that's going to make you do everything. Like Sean literally said, he had to do every aspect of the business, including marketing the business himself. So he learned it. He took it all in and learned as much as he could. And you might even learn things that you don't like about the way that company's run. When you leave to go start your own, don't do them the same way. But use that experience, use the network you build, use the confidence, and use that track record with all of those clients to go and get your own when you're ready. But if you want to start something like this, absolutely, absolutely, I 100% agree with Sean. Go work for a fast-moving startup-type company. Learn from the inside. Learn everything you can for a couple of years, then do it. Make the jump and go it on your own. Sean, thank you so very much. All right. Well, that was a lot of fun. That was a much longer conversation than we typically have, but I think it was absolutely worth it. It was a blast. Sean is a smart, smart dude who's done a lot of cool stuff. So definitely check him out. Please check him out on Twitter. See what he's up to. Read his stuff. Check out Simple Tiger. Remember, at hacktheentrepreneur.com, head on over there to Sean Smith's show notes, and I'm going to find links to all the numerous things that we talked about today. All right. It's been fun. I won't keep you anymore. I appreciate you 100% for stopping by. And please, until next time, keep hacking the entrepreneur.